Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
You're listening to the Autosport Podcast. It's Ferrari's turn as they have now launched their 2024 Formula One Challenger, the SF24. And with the news of the move of Lewis Hamilton to Ferrari in 2025, there's a lot of intrigue going on into this launch and what it means for the prancing horse, not just for 2024, but going forward into 2025. Now, I'm Bryn Lucas, and joining me this time, I'm delighted to have once again F1 editor John Noble, and from all the way over in Italy, Roberto Quinquero. First of all, Roberto, you're over there in Italy. We've not really spoken at all about what the reception's been like since the Lewis Hamilton news. Has the place calmed down yet?
Not at all. The news about Lewis was a kind of earthquake in Italy. First of all, because nobody expected. And I have to say that in Ferrari tradition, every news is announced by rumors. This time was absolutely a big surprise for everybody. And it was a big one. I think it was the driver's market move of the decade, probably, or more. And at the same time, I think that a lot of people understand that was for 2024. For people say, no, it's not possible, it's 2025. But in any case, it was a very important, very big news. Not only for the sport magazine, but the news was on the cover of all of the daily magazines. So it was a very, very big. They opened all the TV news with Lewis Hamilton face in red suit. I don't know if Mercedes is happy about that, but thank you for Photoshop. Thanks to first fair Lewis in red was already here.
I mean, what I'm delighted to say is you probably can't see this. You won't be able to see this on the podcast. But as soon as I mentioned that, John Noble just burst into a fit of coughing there. He was so overcome with emotion. I mean, John, the conversation is still very much centered around Lewis Hamilton going to Ferrari, even though there have been so far, what, 7 launches?
I've lost count now. I'm in this blur of launch week, unfortunately, and just managed to, the glamour of launch is having a quick cup of tea between mad bouts of work. Managed to swallow it the wrong way, so apologies for dry throat and my eyes.
It proves you're human, John. You're nothing if you're not there for the common people. Talk to us about this new car then, the SF24, the beautifully named SF24. What have we learned from the car so far? What have you learned from the car so far?
It's quite an impressive launch, actually. I think if people were expecting, you know, we knew Ferrari were going to do something different this year, and I think a lot of people expected all designs to shift towards the Red Bull, and were we going to have Red Bull clones basically up and down the grid? I think if people were expecting it to go all the way to the Red Bull, they'd probably be disappointed. It's kept its own pushrod, pullrod suspension layout, so it's not gone down the Red Bull route. The side pods aren't going full down what Red Bull have done. They've stepped towards them, but not completely. Different rear wings, so it's stepped towards Red Bull, but it's not a Red Bull. But I think actually a lot of the changes, important changes, are underneath the skin. They've talked about making this car more drivable, less peaky. They want it to be easier to drive for the drivers, because I think the key problem, key understanding from last year was they built a car that was theoretically very quick, We saw that with the pole positions that Charles Leclerc, you know, often banged them out, would be starting up there. But come Sunday, didn't have the consistency, couldn't look after his tyres. And this is the area they've worked on to make this car more compliant. You know, it's not doesn't suffer so much in the wind, doesn't suffer so much when the temperature changes, doesn't suffer so much when the tyres wear off. And this is the true test. You know, how is that car going to perform on Sundays? I think that's the focus. And that's something they aren't going to understand till we get to Bahrain.
From a personal point of view, it's an absolute beauty, though, isn't it? I mean, they've got the look of it absolutely bang on. If it goes anywhere as quickly as it looks beautiful, it's going to be a real contender.
Yeah, I think it looks great. I read a piece, Roberto's colleague Franco Nunes wrote a piece this morning just about the kind of the build up to the launch and how John Elkann, Ferrari CEO, was at the factory, you know, overseeing the final stickers being put on the car, which I think is just quite a nice little postcard piece about A, the interest that John Elkann's having now, because there'll be times where perhaps the big Ferrari chiefs weren't so happy to be associated with the F1 team, that thinking, well, it's a bit political, not performing as well as we might. But there's this new kind of belief and optimism now at Ferrari that the things are changing, that it's heading in a direction with Lewis Hamilton coming. And I think general excitement of a car that looks good, they think they've made positive changes, motivated team and drivers, and pushing forwards to, you know, what could be a fascinating era.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about yourself, Roberto? I mean, Ferrari do make nice looking cars, whether it's this next to me here, my Lego one, or the Formula One cars. But what are your thoughts of not just the look of it, but what's under the skin, as John says?
Yeah, I'm expecting the big part of the development is under the bodywork. So everybody thinks that the car is not a revolution, it's just an evolution. Last year, especially in the second part of the season, the engineers spent a lot of time just for understanding the problem that John mentioned was particular in Sunday during the race. The race pace was the big issue. I mean, the tire management especially. And I think that is the target. I'm expecting a lighter car. I'm expecting a more drivable car. That is probably the first target, considering the problem they had last year. And of course, people now can comment that there is some yellow on the car. It is yellow called Modena yellow. It's part of the tradition of Ferrari. It's a particular paint. But we'll see in Bahrain. Fred Vasseur said, okay, the car is more drivable. On the simulator, Sainz and Leclerc confirmed this, but we want to see the car in Bahrain. I add that we'll see the car in Bahrain. I think they are waiting for the race simulation. I'm expecting the good lap time in any case, but the target is the race simulation. That probably will be the first big answer for Ferrari in 2024.
Bit of a spoiler there, so keep your eyes open on that. And what do they say about Ferrari? Your first Ferrari has to be red. Your second one could be yellow. So there's a nice little nod to the fact that, you know, if you've got a couple of Ferraris, at least one of them has to be a non-red. So there you go, the Modena yellow. Now, compared to 2022, 2023 was a rather muted, I think is the word to say, season, although Ferrari did stop Red Bull from winning every single race, which was a joy. But what can we expect from Ferrari in 2024? Let's start with you, John.
I think progress towards the front. I don't think they're under any illusions that what they've created is guaranteed to beat Red Bull. As you know, they feel they've made progress, but as we all know, it's relative in Formula One. As Fred Vasseur says, if you find 1 second of improvement, that's great, but if your rivals have found 3 seconds, you're an idiot. If your rivals haven't made any improvement, you're a hero. So this is the game they're in at the moment. But you do sense that there's kind of some newfound belief and optimism. They found answers. I asked Charles Leclerc about, you know, this kind of mood of optimism and belief. I think Franco Nunes referred to it as a project relaunch, basically, and a kind of a new vibe, new look to the future. I said, is there this feeling inside Ferrari? He says there is, but it hasn't been this winter. It came from 6 months ago. He talked about this test they did at Zandvoort last year where they basically wrote off the weekend. They did split setups, Charles Leclerc, Carlos Sainz, to try to get to the bottom of what the car problems were. It meant they weren't as prepared for that race weekend, but they came out of it in meetings with an answer for the car, what they needed to do, push that forward. It triggered the Suzuka floor update, which, you know, delivered this step forward to Ferrari that ended their season much stronger. And it's come from there. They're getting engineering answers. They're getting working together. They're plotting kind of what went wrong and why it went wrong last year. So I think the belief is there of progress, but I think they're not foolish enough and we're not foolish enough to predict just how much progress they can make.
You know, we've been in this particular situation before, haven't we, where we look at Ferrari and think, hey, they could do it, they could do it. What about over in Italy then, Roberto? What's the consensus of what Ferrari can achieve in 2024?
But I think for the Tifosi, you know, there is only one target. Realistic, I think that if Ferrari will be able to win 4 or 5 races, it will be a significant step up compared to last year. But I think the most important thing is to reduce the gap with Red Bull. I think it's difficult to fill the gap completely because I'm expecting Red Bull is increasing his performance as well. So now it's a special time of the season when every team knows how their old car is better than last year. I heard rumors that some teams are faster, half a second, four tenths, 6 tenths, but you don't know what Red Bull will do. Realistic, I think P2 in the championship, in the Constructor Championship, and 4 or 5 wins. That should be, I think, a target that can confirm that Ferrari is in a good trend, the trend that, as John mentioned, started last year, in the second part of the season. And if you have a good season in 2024, you can have a better target, the maximum target in 25. I think this is the plan of the team.
So not quite small steps. You are expecting or hoping that there's going to be a few more victories going Ferrari's way come 2024 season. But what about, I mean, John, you mentioned Charles Leclerc a few moments ago. You know, he signed this new contract, hinting he's going to be there for, you know, a few more seasons, essentially taking him beyond the new era of 2026. What's he saying about the car and about the season and about his own expectations?
Yeah, it was quite interesting today because they did the... I think today is a shakedown, not a filming day, because I think that they can choose how many miles to do. So it's 200K for filming day, which they're doing tomorrow. So today was just a shakedown at the first few laps. And you often find that teams and drivers do these little shakedowns and they'll come out. So everything feels great. Everything's wonderful. Even if it's not. And now 12 months on, Charles is asked today about the car and how it feels, and he says, last year I knew straight away that the car didn't feel very good and wasn't very good, which is kind of something he didn't say at the time, but he says this one feels, he called it healthier, basically better balance. He says you can't predict anything about competitiveness because it's that relative game we've talked about. But I think there's a feeling that it feels more together as a package. It's probably lost that peakiness that was the big problem last year. So it's not an edge, probably compliant if you can feel that already. So I think we see a first signs that maybe it's made the progress in the areas it wants to do. But I think it all goes down to what Roberto's called those race runs in Bahrain testing.
Yeah, first signs brings me nicely to Carlos Sainz. See what I did there? Beautiful, right? Thanks for that, John. Thank you. Roberto, thanks for humouring me as well. But over there in Italy, we know that Carlos Sainz is in his last season at Ferrari. We'll get into where he's going to go and what's going to happen post-Ferrari for him a little bit later on. But what can Carlos expect this season? I mean, if the car's performing a little bit better, if it's easier to control more, more purposeful out there on track, that's surely going to help him, you know, come across as a really, really good entity and prospect for other teams come 2025.
I think Carlos will use this season, of course he's trying to have this best result possible, but we use this first part of the season also as a present card for introduce himself to the team that we have next year. It's quite... I think it's not an easy situation, but Carlos surprised me in terms of, I think his mental very strong. And he confirmed this in the last 3 years. Ferrari was not easy for him to arrive alongside a driver like Leclerc. I have to say that he surprised me a lot, not only me, surprised a lot of people in Italy that probably did not consider him as good as Sebastian Vettel was. And in the end, I think he performed very, very close to Charles. That was a surprise. It will be difficult, in my opinion, the second part of the season, because normally the people the drivers are leaving the team are not invited at the technical meeting. That happened also with Lewis, with Mercedes. So probably the biggest change for Carlos will start after the summer break. But it's a very professional guy. I'm not expecting a particular change of attitude. I'm expecting a good Carlos until the, as Fred Vasseur said, until the last corner of the last race this year.
Yeah, and of course, John, someone like Carlos, he's got this extra motivation, hasn't he, to prove to Ferrari that they're completely wrong to have gone down the Lewis Hamilton track and, you know, signed him. They should have kept with Carlos, according to Carlos.
Well, there is that, but I don't think that'll make any difference to his overall, you know, performance. I think he'll still be going out there delivering as much as he could if he had a contract or not. I think he's the sort of guy that won't let that get to him. I don't think he's gonna rush into deciding his future. There are options out there, and I think the market, it's probably gonna be a few twists and turns in the driver market as we go along. I still think the Audi connection probably looks the most logical, just in terms of kind of long-term projects, building something up for the future where he can potentially get himself into a race-winning car. But equally, you'll want to keep an eye out, see what happens at Mercedes, see what happens at Red Bull. I think he's in quite a smart position just to sit back for a little bit and see how it plays out.
Yeah, we'll have to see where he stops when the music stops, won't we? It's going to be a very interesting, silly season when it approaches us. Now, let's just stay with the team itself and Fred Vasseur. He starts his second season at the team. What are his expectations for this season? I think he said back in December that he wanted to avoid high expectations, Roberto.
I think probably this year is the real Fred Vasseur season. Last year he arrived in Ferrari, was in the first week of January. The car was already there. The divorce with Binotto was not easy. A couple of people in the management, in top management, left the team, like Mekies and Sanchez that swapped to McLaren. So it was not easy. The first 3-4 months, the car was not performing well. I think now is the Fred Vasseur Ferrari. We already have seen last year in the second part of the season a more compact group. I think the pit stop was better, the strategy was better, the race management was better. Now we need the car. I think it's not the we are still waiting for 2-3 engineers that are in gardening at the moment to complete probably the team that Fred wants to have. But I think he found different way to manage the people that was already in Ferrari, like for example, Enrico Cardile. I'm expecting a good season. He knows that we will be judged a lot this season, more than last year, because last year everybody knew that he arrived in the middle of the project. This year is completely his full project, is by Fred Vasseur. So he underlined today that it's not his job, but it's 1,000 people job. So it's very complicated one. But of course, the team principal is the team principal. In the end, the final sign is by Fred. So I think that will be a crucial season for Fred Vasseur.
Yeah, John, do you think we're going to see a calm Fred Vasseur this year, or are we going to see a very impatient Fred Vasseur if things don't quite go to plan?
I think calm. He's got a Lewis Hamilton 25 contract in his pocket. So I think that's bought him an awful lot of kind of time and goodwill, and that kind of focus on the long-term plan, long-term vision. I think if people talk about, you know, the Lewis Hamilton era coming up, it's going to be a kind of a new time for Ferrari. It's something exciting for the future. And I think that kind of buys Fred Vasseur a season where they don't make all the progress. The future's still bright, it's still pushing on forwards. So I don't think he'll be impatient. I sense that, you know, he's lived through the most difficult period, which was those first 6 months when he took over. He lost the staff, had to try and convince people he was the right man for the job. And I think he's come through that second half of the season that Charles Leclerc talked about since Zandvoort. You know, Fred says the team woke up, basically, and it got itself sorted. And that's what it's building into the season ahead. So I think we'll see a calm Fred, basically, unless it all turns to complete disaster, of course.
That's no fun, is it? A calm Fred Vasseur. Now, let's just stay with Lewis Hamilton for a moment, because arguably it's the biggest story in the last while in Formula One, really, that Lewis Hamilton is jumping ship and going to Ferrari for 2025. This has really been the first opportunity for us to see Ferrari publicly out there. Have they said anything, Roberto, about Hamilton moving to them? Have they said anything about their expectations, you know, 2025 and beyond?
I'm expecting Lewis. I think the big difference between the Ferrari offer and the contract that Lewis had in his hands in Mercedes is the future. Mercedes offered him only 1 year contract. Lewis asked last summer to have a 3 years contract, at least two plus one. Ferrari offered him a long-term contract. So Lewis wants to stay in Formula One a lot. Honestly, yesterday surprised me a little bit, Fernando Alonso, when he said that he can drive until 50 years old. I say, I remember very well when Lewis and Fernando comments the Michael Schumacher come back with Mercedes. They say, oh no, I don't want to stay in Formula One until 40 years old. They are both here and they want to stay for a long time. So I'm expected Lewis very involved in the project. I'm expecting he's enjoying, at the same time he's enjoying his time. He know that his last dance in Formula One. And I think he's mature. Nobody is questioning his ability, his talent, of course, and he's in a perfect position for enjoying his Ferrari time. Of course, a lot of depends from the car, how good will be the car. But Lewis is he did a master plan in 2012 when he left McLaren. I think that he analyzed a lot the situation before the final choice of his career. So I trust him. I think that if he moves, it means that he had something in his pocket. He has a good relationship with John Elkann. John Elkann was, I think, a very important role in the Lewis decision. And at the moment, I don't see any particular problem in the future. Then we'll see what's going to happen. But at the moment, I don't see any criticism.
Yeah, as Roberto just says, John, that when Hamilton moved from McLaren to Mercedes, there are a few people thinking, what's he know that we don't? It was a kind of a bit of a, you know, came out of left field, didn't it? Oh my God, he's going to Mercedes. This is wow, okay. Is this going to prove to be a good decision? Well, we know it retrospectively. Yes, it turned out to be a very, very good decision for him. So Lewis Hamilton wouldn't be going to Ferrari if Ferrari weren't showing the promise that he's expecting. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think this is a pure, you know, heart decision. He's ignoring what everyone else is taking. I think it will have been, you know, a lot of chats between Fred Vasseur and Lewis. You know, they go all the way back to the junior single-seater ladder. They've known each other for years. They've been friends, chatting all the time. He'd have been through it all. He'd have been run through the, you know, where the team's going, what is the progress, what are the strengths, what are the weaknesses, what are the ambitions, what are we changing for the future, how are things looking with the 26 regulations. I think he won't have made this choice purely thinking, oh, I'll be nice to end my career at Ferrari, it doesn't matter what the results are, I'll get some cash in the bank and I'm all done. He's going there to win. Ferrari want him there to win. Ferrari want him to help himself and Charles Leclerc win the Constructors' Championship. This is a, you know, it's a performance-driven reason that gives Lewis some fresh motivation after, you know, probably a little bit of feeling a bit of Groundhog Day at Mercedes, which is inevitable after so long at the same team.
Yeah, now, there's also been some kind of mixed reports about what Charles said about it or what Charles thinks about the move for Lewis going to Ferrari. What's the news coming out of Italy, Roberto?
What I know that is that when Charles signed the contract, he already knew that Lewis was in Ferrari. So it was not a surprise that arrived after he signed the contract, first of all. I think it's a good opportunity for him. The worst scenario for a driver is that when arrives someone younger than you and is performed better than you, that is the worst scenario for every driver. I think Charles used a lot the season, 1.5 years probably, alongside Sebastian Vettel. He understood a lot, he learned a lot with Sebastian. He had another opportunity with Lewis. It's not a bad news for him. I think at the same time, he will have less pressure than now. I'm sure that he is sharing the pressure with Lewis at least 50%, or probably 51% with Lewis. And I don't think it's a bad news for him. I think it's a big opportunity.
Yeah, John, what do you think? Do you tend to agree with that?
Yeah, I think all top drivers, obviously, you know, in some respects, they want a teammate who's half a second slower because it makes their life a lot easier. Never challenged, instant number one, you know, roll on. But equally, I think they love pitting themselves against the best. And if you're Charles Leclerc, you want a Ferrari as competitive as possible. You want it to be winning races. And if you know that someone's arriving that's going to give impetus to the team, it's giving it belief, motivation, optimism for the future. There are no excuses now for performance. They will push each other on. And drivers have to have this innate belief in themselves that they can do it. And I think they'll both be going into 25. Lewis will think, I can beat Charles. And Charles will think, I can beat Lewis. That's just naturally part of the competitive nature of Formula One. And that will help drive the team forwards.
And presumably for Carlos as well, this season, he'll reap the benefits of the fact that Lewis Hamilton's joining in 2025, because the team will now be looking ahead and getting everything in place so that when they get to that season, let's just not write Ferrari off for 2024, but I think from the winning the title, it's probably unlikely they're going to win. It's unlikely anyone's going to beat Red Bull this season, but someone like Carlos could probably reap the benefits, couldn't he, from the fact that the team are now looking ahead and having to pull their socks up ready for the arrival of the seven-time world champion, Roberto?
It was not good news for him, because he loves to stay in Ferrari, first of all. And honestly, I have to say that he did a good job. So there was any technical reason to replace Carlos. But of course, if you have Lewis Hamilton on the market, how can you say no? That is I think Carlos was very unlucky, because he was probably in the wrong time in the wrong place, because technically speaking there is no reason to replace him, but as I said, when you have Lewis Hamilton he's stuffed, you cannot say no. And I want to add also that with Lewis and Charles together, someone said, oh, if you have two guys, you can have problem in the driver's management. I think it's a sweet problem. You have to hope to have that kind of problem if you are a team principal, because it means that the car is good. I cannot imagine Charles and Lewis fighting for a third place or take a risk for a third place. Of course, everything can change in the day that they are driving a car that consent them for to fight for the world champion. So in that case, you have a problem, but you have to hope. I think Fred Vasseur really hoped to have that kind of problem. So Toto Wolff, I think he wants to have again the problem he had with Lewis and Nico, because it means that the car is mega. So it's a welcome problem for the team principal, that one.
A welcome problem, as you say. I mean, Toto is probably wishing he had that problem going ahead there. For Lewis, though, John, do you think that he's getting older, right? I'm going to be very careful how I word this. He's getting older, and he knows that he's in the twilight of his career. Does he still have whatever it is that you need to have to be a world champion when it comes down to that real fight? So if he and Charles are fighting and he's got to do what Michael Schumacher did to, say, Damon Hill many, many years ago, would Lewis Hamilton do that? Would he still have that fight in him? Or is he more pragmatic in his approach?
Well, I don't think Lewis would do what Michael Schumacher did in terms of driving people off the road. I don't think he's that sort of driver. He's had those instances with Max Verstappen, but he's not someone who would, I think, go to the extremes that Michael did. But he's someone who will take things to the absolute limit, take things to the edge and knuckle down. And I think with Lewis, I think he knows, as Roberto said, when you're fighting for third, you often don't see the kind of A-plus star drivers absolutely excel and show the levels of brilliance that they do when it's coming down for race wins and coming down to fighting for a world championship. You know, you saw in Austin last year, for example, when Mercedes had that sniff of a win in terms of pace. You know, Lewis was there, the consistency, able to push on. It's only really the strategy that's kind of scuppered that afternoon prior to the skid plate mess afterwards. But I think he knows in himself where the motivation is. He questioned himself. We did an interview with him in Abu Dhabi last year. He talked about, you know, questioning whether he still had what it takes, questioning whether was the problem not the Mercedes car, was the problem himself. So he's been through all this reflective period. And I think the conclusion is he has got what it takes, But I think ultimately, perhaps he felt that he needed this kind of fresh injection of excitement and motivation that comes from changing teams. He talked about this kind of buzz he had when he joined Mercedes for the first time, knuckling down with the details and speaking to the team and plotting things and charting things. And that's something you can't get after more than a decade at one outfit. So I think maybe he feels that to get his best, he needed this change of direction.
Yeah, and as Fernando Alonso said just the other day, he can see himself in Formula One for a few more years. So why can't Lewis Hamilton be doing it for a fair bit longer? We've spoken about Lewis, we've spoken about Carlos, we've spoken about Charles. Let's just quickly stay on Carlos for a few moments, John, because what are your thoughts on how he's going to approach 2024 and his expectations?
I think he'll approach it the same. I think performance-wise, it will be the same as if he, you know, had a contract in place. He's the ultimate professional. He will go out there. He won't, you know, do anything silly to annoy the team. He knows he's got a job to do. He's, you know, technically very, very strong in the team. He'll push on to the final lap in Abu Dhabi just as normal. I think the only thing that could potentially impact it is if there is some uncertainty about him carrying on in Formula One, if the driver market gets messy and he gets beaten to a seat he wants. So there will be that bit of that bubbling away in the background. But I don't see any of that affecting him, his on-track performance, nor the fact he's leaving the team, unless, you know, suddenly he finds the kind of the rug pulled from underneath him and he's facing being out of Formula One.
Yeah. So the future is bright. The future is potentially red. We don't know. We're going to have to wait and see on that one there. Finally, you know I do this every time, John, but we're going to do a hit or a miss on the car, and then I'm going to ask you a follow-up question, but we'll get the hit or a miss first, and we're going to start with you, John, on this Ferrari, the SF24, hit or miss?
Hit.
Roberto?
Hit.
Hit. Okay, now I'm going to go one stage further here. We've got Mercedes, McLaren, and Red Bull to go, so we've seen 7 out of the 10 now. Where do you put this one out of all the liveries that you've seen so far? And I'm going purely on aesthetics here. You know, it's very much an aesthetic-based podcast, Roberto. or I video, depends what you're watching.
I was surprised by Aston Martin because it's very, very aggressive development of the car. Nothing is new in terms of concept, but was very extreme in terms of solution. So it was a beautiful car to watch, honestly.
So okay, interesting. All right. So, and John, where do you put it?
Aesthetics in terms of the design or the livery?
I'm talking however you want to take it, John.
Oh, okay. Well, livery wise, I actually might be P1 just because Ferrari in the past have, you know, done liveries which I've not liked, and sometimes they can get it quite wrong on the livery. But I think this one works as a whole. Overall concept, I think it looks great. So I put them P1. But I agree with Roberto. There was one angle yesterday of the Aston Martin. It was the kind of overhead front shot as it's looking down the angle of the side pods. And it looked amazing. Just the, you know, how they'd narrowed the inlets down and the swoops to the rear. It, you know, looked like a you know, rocket ship rather than a Formula One car, which I thought looked fantastic. So I think maybe we'll give Aston P1 just for that overhead shot that I quite liked yesterday. And we'll give Ferrari P1 for the livery so far. But we need to see how they rock up in testing.
So there you have it. If we can see more of that one shot, then John is going to be absolutely loving it. Otherwise, Ferrari are currently in P1 on the livery front. Look, gents, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me, to John and to Roberto as well over there in Italy. Thanks very much. John, you can say thanks if you want.
Oh, thanks.
Heartfelt as always. But that's it. The SF24 from Ferrari has now been launched. Will they make up the gap? Will they be able to take Red Bull in 2024? Well, we're going to have to wait and see. Well, there you go. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast. Don't forget, we've got 2 more launches coming tomorrow, McLaren and Mercedes, followed by the champions Red Bull, showing us what their offering is for the upcoming season. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Podcast Network.